welcome to episode 15 of Intrepid Photography Radio, where we peek behind the lens at who is doing what in the world of photography. I am your host, Bill Ramsey of the Intrepid Now Network. Thank you for tuning in. So if you've ever wondered about the coolest part of podcasting, today is an ideal example. Let me set the scene for you. I see online some thought leader, a mover, a shaker, some interesting character. Maybe I've heard about this person through somebody that I respect. I'm intrigued by what they're doing, or I'm just interested in what makes them unique. So what do? You guessed it. I invite them to be on the show. So what is the coolest part of podcasting, you wonder? I get the chance to connect with some really, really fascinating people. So today is a prime example of the aforementioned scenario. And I'm just one of those guys that I try to put the word aforementioned into as many sentences as possible. So as I aforementioned the aforementioned scenario, I have reached out to today's guest after a mutual friend told me about him. When I saw some of the personal projects on his website, I knew that I wanted to learn more. So here we are today, episode 15. Matt Traeger is a freelance editorial and documentary photographer and videographer. His work has been used by various magazines, nonprofits, institutions, and companies to tell their stories and also to raise awareness. Hailing from Chicago, Illinois, it is my great pleasure to introduce Mr. Matt Traeger. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bill, for having me.
It's a real privilege. Thank you. And the first thing I've got to know, I don't know this gap in the story, but you studied engineering at Georgia Tech, not exactly a slacker engineering school. From there, you moved to the Rockies, and from there, you've done a 180 from engineering into this world of art photography. What in the world happened?
Well, yeah, so we can go back to 2010. I graduated from Georgia Tech. As you know, back then, the market for jobs was not the best in the world. And so I actually had planned to take some time off post-graduation and go live and work out in Yellowstone National Park. And so I moved out west, and one thing led to another. I met my now wife out there working just right next door to her, and basically moved to the Sierras in the winter and then back out to Bozeman, Montana in the summer. And I was looking for engineering jobs all that time too, but nothing was popping up, and started working at a little camera shop. And one thing led to another, and my wife basically just kind of encouraged me, because I had enjoyed photography for some time at that point as a hobby, to maybe see what it'd be like to try being a professional photographer. And like so many people with digital cameras now, they've had their go, and it's been working out for me so far. So that's kind of the short answer, I guess. I think too, one thing I enjoy about engineering is the problem solving aspect of it. That can very much translate into photography as well. Whether you're on an assignment and things don't go according to plan, or you're on set and, you know, any number of things could go wrong, and it's figuring out how to make it happen, make the photos without making it all fall apart.
So you and your wife have recently finished up a pretty amazing trip. Tell our audience a little bit about it and what you're doing there.
Yeah, so we, back in 2013, my wife and I decided to go teach English in South Korea for a year. And yeah, so we jetted over there, spent the last year there, and then all the time we were able to save a lot of money and make a lot of fun work while we're out there and meet a lot of great people. And then after that, we took 10-week, I guess, little sabbatical, more or less, throughout Southeast Asia and India. And yeah, it was a wonderful time trying to figure out what we wanted to do with our lives, more or less, and to what kind of direction we wanted to take our careers. And it was great time too, during that 10 weeks of traveling, I was able to shoot a personal project, which is a sort of a combination of a portrait project and a travelogue that I'm putting together now. So it was quite the adventure for sure.
Well, you've broached the subject, and so I'm going to go ahead and go that direction right now. The project is called the Well Met Project that you mentioned you finished up shooting. Our audience, unfortunately, does not have a true gallery on your website yet, but I understand we can see some of the work on your blog. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
And go ahead and tip your hat. What is the blog?
Yeah, it's matttraeger.com/blog. It's a lot of stuff that I've just been working on. And there's a mixture of recent work, but also of the Well Met project in there as well. But right now on the blog, there's a few stories in there, some of the people we've met along the way, some photos from them, and some stories. And the idea behind the project too was to not just do, you know, random little 5-minute portrait sessions, but all of the people that I documented in this project, we spent, you know, several hours, an afternoon, several days with, and really got to know them, even if we only spoke 10 words of English between each other. You know, it was a really great opportunity to connect with people from other cultures. And my hope is to, with this project, kind of share those stories with others. And yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, Matt, because the first thing I had in my mind there when you mentioned that you'd taken these portraits of people you'd met along the way was, one, is the audience going to be able to read or hear these stories from you? So they are going to be able to see the story with each of the portraits. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. I'm not exactly a writer by any means, but I've given my best go at kind of explaining what it was like to be there and yeah, who these people were. And with every person I met too, I asked each person for a little bit of advice that they like to live by with their lives. And so I wrote those as well and wrote those down for people to read. And yeah, I mean, if nothing else, if only a few people get some inspiration or some drive or direction from this project, that will be wonderful to me and it'll be a really successful project.
So I'm really intrigued here. There's so much I'm learning about this project. I didn't know myself of what you've done. You know, because I guess the easy thing would be if you're we who are in the States, you're in a very far-flung part of the world, the colors, the sights, the textures are different than what we're used to. At first nod, I would think it would be easy just to glance and say, oh, that is a fascinating looking person. I want to snap a photo of them. Mm-hmm. I want to create a quick portrait of them, and then I have that in my project, you know. But you really took a different tack on really trying to connect with these people. So I guess the two questions are, first of all, why? I mean, you could have gotten some great images of some fascinating looking people without spending so much time with them. So my first question is, why did you go to so much more trouble spending time with them?
I think there's a couple of responses to that one for me. One is I'm interested in people, especially people who are not of my culture, people who live very different lives, have different views on even just like day-to-day life. Like, for instance, we met an Italian expat who now splits his time between a Buddhist monastery in the Himalaya and the Philippines with his wife and son. He used to be a magician in Las Vegas, and he now teaches martial arts in his free time as part of a school, both in the Philippines and the Himalaya. He studies Buddhism up in the Himalayas at this temple as well, and just a very interesting, fascinating guy. But I think just getting to know these people is fascinating for me, and it also allows me to get more interesting photos, I feel like. I'm able to not just take this kind of staged or a little, you know, awkward photo and move on, but to really be invested in their story as well, even if only a little bit, and be able to get them to relax around me and my camera as well. I feel like that leads to much more authentic and beautiful photos.
Question number two.
Yeah.
What is one of the best pieces of advice you've ever heard?
I think one that really resonated with me was actually the Italian guy we met. His name is Robert, and his little post is up on my blog. But he has been in this process of building a permanent home in the Philippines for several years now, but has been, I guess, kind of, it's like an arrested development almost, just for the fact of there's been a lot of bad contractors, dishonest people ripping him off, taking his money and running. You know, in the Philippines too, especially where we were at, it's not exactly a regulated market. It can be really hard for somebody who's not a local to get some stuff done there. And that resonated with me too, because in the end of our teaching in South Korea, our boss more or less, you know, cheated us out of some of the money we were owed. And that's a long, whole nother story, but we were able to really connect on that whole aspect of, you know, losing out, and especially coming from America where it's a lot easier to, you know, you have a legal system to go through or you have connections here. We were both in a foreign land and we're kind of on our own. And it was an interesting perspective for us because we were both kind of at a loss of what to do. But his advice to us, it was really interesting because he's such a peaceful and jolly guy, even despite all of the crap that's kind of happened to him. And his advice was to be honest anyway. And despite what happens to you, be honest. In seeking justice, be honest in everything you do. And he talked about, you know, if you read from every religious book, that's what they all say. And it's the point is to be honest. And it was really good to hear kind of this guy who has been cheated out of thousands and thousands of dollars. Even despite all of that, he's still, you know, it's just money, you know. In the end, it's about how you treat others and who you are and what you can control. And it was a really neat perspective to see and something that really resonated with my wife and I.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
Founded to celebrate the things we prize the most, Sean Minor Wines are delicious, approachable, with expressive flavors, and Sean Minor Wines are a great value for you and your family. With a portfolio that includes Sean Minor Wines, Four Bears Wines, and Point North Wines, you can learn more at SeanMinorWines.com. That's SeanMinorWines.com.
Welcome back to Intrepid Photography Radio, where I am joined with Mr. Matt Traeger. Matt, we've been talking about the Well Met project. Talk to our audience a little bit about your opinion of shooting work just for yourself, work that you want to create, not just work that you're being commissioned to do. Why does that matter?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's just really important, I feel, as an artist to be true to yourself for multiple reasons. One is so that you feel creatively fulfilled, especially if you're doing work that's not exactly the most exciting stuff, like corporate headshots or, you know, shooting animals all day long, pet portraits. Maybe that's not what you exactly want to do, but that's what's paying the bills at the time. And so being able to save up maybe a little chunk of change and go off and what you want to shoot, or put together some talent and go shoot portraits in a studio. It's whatever it is to get that creative outlet to make yourself feel fulfilled. And I feel that's extremely important. And I think it's also really important too, when you start to get into commercial world, when you get into the commercial world, to show who you are as an artist, because there are so many photographers now on the market that are making really good work. It's, I think right now, art directors are not only looking for people who can execute their work, but who have their own sense of direction and what they want to shoot, and that they want to see an investment in a project, an investment in an idea that you can bring to their own projects and these commercial pieces. So I think it's a multifaceted thing to be shooting your own personal work. Yeah.
So let's talk about one of your personal projects that really caught my attention. This is the project, frankly, that made me think this would be a really interesting conversation. And good for you for stepping into a landmine of emotions on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about the People of the Bakken project. Explain to our audience what that is. And audience, you'll notice that Matt has been generous enough to show some of these photos on the post here. So as you're talking, that's what you're seeing there. Speak to that project. What is it?
Yeah, so it's the People of the Bakken it's a long form photo project that it's just taken a little bit closer look at the region and the people who have been impacted by the recent oil boom out in North Dakota and eastern Montana. And it's, you know, there's no shortage of photography documenting that whole, you know, sprawling effect of fracking and the millionaires who are being made out of it, this and that, you know, especially focusing on the fracking aspect of it. And I wanted to take maybe just a slightly different approach and show more the people, the everyday farmers, the truck drivers, the restaurant owners, the ranchers who are out there that are being affected by the oil boom and all the fracking that's going on, whether it's good, whether it's bad, basically how their lives have changed for better or for worse.
So it strikes me as difficult to go into a project like that really completely neutral. And I'm intentionally not going to ask if you had an agenda in mind when you started this project, because I'd rather your work speak for itself. I don't want to hear that part. But what has surprised you most from that project about the regions, the people that you've been meeting? What has been the biggest surprise to you?
I think the biggest surprise was the way that the wealth has changed some people, and getting stories both of people who have lived there their whole lives, who have generations going back to homesteaders, versus people who have, you know, shown up right when it was hitting the peak of the boom, to see how money can really play an effect on how people behave and how it can change some people too. And for me personally, I think some of the stories that I've told, that people share that same sentiment. There's been a lot of good and bad coming out of the Bakken. You know, a lot of people who own farms that weren't exactly operating out of profit were probably going to be shutting down operations or whatnot, suddenly have, you know, through wells on their property, and now they're able to sustain their livelihood again. And not only their farming, but, you know, they're able to pay off some debts they had, to, you know, be able to afford college funding for their children. And then it's also gone the extreme opposite end of people who, you know, take that money and, you know, just trash themselves and totally waste it away. To see all of that in this little pocket of oil, you know, exploration. And it's been really fascinating to, yeah, just to see how this newfound wealth and rush is really affecting people at the core.
So give some advice to a photographer listening right now that would like to do an editorial project somewhat like you're doing. Here's my guess, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Matt. Everyone in that region has extremely high emotions about the subject. And so a guy they've never seen like you shows up with a camera who wants to photograph and wants to talk about what they're doing. I would suspect that you've been met with a great deal of mistrust and even animosity by some. What advice would you give a photographer for navigating the landscape of high emotion for any sort of project like that?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I was actually met with a lot of mistrust at first. And the main way I was able to get in touch with people was through just meeting one person and befriending them. And then through that person, getting introduced to others. And I think really getting that one first contact behind my project and kind of explaining that I'm not out there for an agenda, that I'm really out there to document both sides. And it's more of a chronicling of history to kind of see what's been going on. And I think once you make that first initial contact, then using that person to open up doors for you and really getting them involved in the project as well and get them excited about what you're doing, that definitely helped a ton. I would not have met half the people I met if it wasn't for the Haugens, who I originally met actually out in Bozeman. And I just chatted them up and they were so gracious enough to invite me out to North Dakota and stay with them for the few weeks that I went out there and shot. And they took their time and introduced me to people they knew who had been affected by the project by the oil boom. So yeah, my advice would be to get someone who you know, or maybe just introduce yourself and just try and relate what you're trying, your story, your goals are. And it's a slow process too. It's extremely slow and you're going to be met with a lot of rejection, but just, you know, keep going and keep trying and be as authentic and genuine as you can be and show that you're not out there to be a predatory photographer, that you're really out there just to tell their story.
So you would have the audacity to tell me that being honest and open and acting with integrity, treating people decently and fairly, you're trying to tell me that's a viable business model?
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, in this day and age, it is.
Yeah. Hey, let's completely shift gears here. We're kind of looking towards the end of our conversation, but I want to talk about video because you're also a videographer. Talk to me about the role of video in your work. And speak to our audience, where do you see the photography industry going in light of video?
Video is the future. I think it's definitely something that it won't completely replace photos. That's my personal opinion. There's still a place for still photography, and I think there will be for many years to come. But now with so many advancements in mobile technology and attention spans and so many things vying for our attention, video is, you can capture attention a lot quicker and convey your information a lot quicker via video. And I think it's a very interesting medium too, if done well. There's so many different ways to tell a story with moving pictures and audio that are just not able to be done with photos. So there's a time and place for both, but I think especially meeting with editors, you know, they're always asking if I can shoot video as well. And I think as a professional photographer, someone who's looking to make a go at a career in this, you definitely need to have at least basic video skills, know how to hit record and capture audio that doesn't look like crap, you know, that you can, but you don't have to be an expert cinematographer, but to be able to navigate that aspect, to have some video pieces is definitely an important skill set to have.
Two last questions, Matt. Number one, what's next for you? What's on the horizon for Matt Traeger?
Well, right now it's a lot of pounding the pavement here in Chicago and getting my name out there. And it's also, I'm working on some up and coming projects right now, some stuff that I came to know on our travels. For instance, I'm looking at doing a little bit more of an investigative photo project, similar in the vein to People of the Bakken, focusing on deforestation on the island of Borneo in Malaysia and Indonesia, focusing especially on palm oil and palm tree plantations. There's been some recent news, especially too, about land being taken from natives who, whether or not it's true or not, have not exactly been keen on the whole situation. Money being funneled to people, corruption, that whole jazz, basically. And I want to go down there for myself. It kind of makes sense for myself more than anything, too. It's a personal project for me just to see for myself what's actually going on. And I think also, too, making the transition to more commercial work, really going and shooting a lot of just more personal work that I can market to the commercial world. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Does it make sense? Yeah, that makes sense. You surely can't seem to find a docile subject like Cutest Kittens on the Planet or something like that.
I think there's, you know, that kind of photography, like you said, Cutest Kittens, it's some people, and that's their jam, man. That's what they want to do. And I'm all for that because there's somebody out there who wants to do that. And there are people who want to see that. Me personally, I've never been much for that kind of stuff. I don't know if I told my parents ever this, but when I was in college and studying for finals, there were times where I was really just upset with engineering and studying. And I think it was more just, I didn't want to study at the time, but I thought about dropping out and doing photography and going into documentary photography full time. Looking back, that would have been a terrible, terrible decision, having no experience whatsoever. But I think being able to tell stories via photos or video of other people and to give them voices that they wouldn't normally have is, it just brings me a lot of satisfaction, a lot of joy to be able to do that.
Brother, I totally get it. You know, that is very much the blessing of being a podcaster, is that I have a chance to be a megaphone for people to tell their own story. So that being said, regarding your story, I hate to admit that we are out of time here. So here is the final question. How does our audience see your work, keep up with you, and follow what you're doing?
Yeah, you can check out my work at my website. It's matttrager.com. It's matttrager.com. I'm sure there's a link probably in the podcast site. But you can also follow me on Twitter at Traeger, or my blog, which is matttrager.com/blog. And I haven't been the most religious blog poster, but I'm hoping to pick that up here in this 2015. And yeah, you can keep in touch with me that way.
Matt Traeger, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
And thank you, kind listener, for being here. So help me serve up a meal that you love. Email me your requests, suggestions, and complaints. The email is bill@intrepidnow.com. You can also share the show with a friend. You can also tell your online community about the show. We are in this together, and I am counting on you to make this show number one. That wraps episode 15. I'm your host, Bill Ramsey. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on Intrepid Photography Radio.